wrong, but kind of move into our heart, just bring us to that place of worship, Jesus, and make us think about his name. Praise God. So thank you for those songs, and sorry for the worship team that I've got these two things up here. Kind of blocked their vision, and I was looking around at some of them, just kind of see their faces around there, but it's only for today, okay? So just remember that. Anyway, it's part of the message. I always find that when you do something like this, it's kind of like the old saying, a picture is worth a thousand words. So I trust this morning you're going to get at least a thousand words from these two pictures. I have got two things here, so maybe 2,000 words. I don't know, but I just trust that you'll get something from God. Amen? Well, welcome to church. We are glad you made the right choice. The right choice. Amen? There are so many people that you drive by them this morning. Their fight was to get into Tim Hortons. They are wondering if I went by a store on Pitt Street and I saw some people looking at a window. I guess they were looking there to see the store hours to find out when it was going to open. I said, too bad it's not open, but come to church. And I thought to myself, but I'm glad that you came to church. You made the right choice. Amen? So good for you. Amen? We're all blessed here. We come together as family. We come together to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And say what? If you don't know Jesus, you can get him today. Because he wants to get you. He wants to be a relationship with you. And so I just trust that you'll be in that place with him this morning. So here we are. The right choice. Did you know that life is made of choices? You rose this morning, shall I get out of bed? Shall I stay in bed? Will I have cereal this morning? Or will I go without it? Will I stop at Tim Hortons on the way? Will I not? Will I bring a coffee into the sanctuary? Will I not? As the pastor says, you can't. I was like looking in the foyer with everybody out there and they had their coffee cups. And ready to bring them in, but they don't bring them in. Thank you. We've had so many spills on the carpets of coffee, and sometimes somebody will sit down with Tim Hortons cup with the letter H on the bottom, and they'll leave it there. And then somebody comes in next week and kicks it, and it's on the floor. And it wasn't your fault, you weren't even here, and somebody kicked our cup. So that's why we don't really want to think about it. You gotta make choices. I mean, life is made of choices. All kinds of things. Some are deep choices, some are very light, some are just superficial. You know, Betty and I get up in the morning, and I love women, because women never know what to church, where to church. And come on, ladies. Am I right? Yes, you never know what to wear. And isn't it wonderful that you have so much in your wardrobe that you can just sit there and say, well, I think I'll go right now. Well, I'll just kind of go through all those choices, and I'm glad that finally you get something on. We're not playing Adam and Eve here. Well, I'm glad that you've got something on and that you all look very attractive, you ladies. Amen?
Amen.
And the guys look pretty good, too.
Amen?
Hallelujah. Life is filled with choices. It's constantly made out of choices. And sadly, some choices that we make get us in trouble. You ever been there?
Yeah.
Been there, done that, yeah. Get us into trouble, don't they? See, I look back, and choices even started way back in the Garden of Eden. Choices started way back then. See, God made them in the Garden of Eden, male and female, known as excluded. And we know that as they were placed in that garden, they had a choice to make. God said, you can eat of everything here, except for the tree right there of good and evil, the knowledge of good and evil. You cannot eat of that tree. So life as God desired for us to have was made of those first two humans. We owe it all to them. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. They made choices. It was a wonderful place. You see, God's intentions were for the couple to begin the human race.
That was his intention. He said, be fruitful, multiply. And God wanted more of what he had made. He fashioned from the ground Adam and made. wanted more. He kind of delighted in that because there was fellowship going back and forth, and he walked with them in the cool of the day. There was wonderful fellowship going on between his creation and God the Creator. It was a beautiful thing. He made them. You see, as I look back, Adam and Eve, they were really a perfect couple. A perfect couple. Marriage made in heaven, so to speak. Isn't that right? Marriage made in heaven. They were made in perfection, sinless in the beginning, in an environment that was very productive. I mean, it seemed like in that perfect situation, everything they could do, every flower blossomed. I mean, sometimes we look at our flowers and hope that they'll blossom this year. How come they're not blossoming this year? Can you imagine in the Garden of Eden, there was no problem with flowers blossoming. There was no problem with any of the animals. They wouldn't have needed a veterinarian, Pierre. I mean, everything was going, it was just perfect. The situation in the Garden of Eden was just perfect. Everything was going on. And so God created man in his own image. As I said, in the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. Everything for Adam and Eve was a go. It was a go. I mean, here it is. Adam and Eve, wouldn't you like to be in a place like that? I mean, just to be planted there, and God says, here we are, walk together with me, and look at this place where you live. It's a go. Adam, everything is in subjection to you. You have authority over everything that is around you. I give it to you. Isn't that a wonderful gift that God gave to Adam and Eve? I mean, and so he looked at the animals, and animals were starting to be named by Adam and Eve. The fish was there, the air, the streams, the life, the simplicity of things. It must have been so beautiful. How different things are today. Right? It says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 25, and I just want to read this to you because I like it in the Amplified version. It said, the man and his wife were both naked and were not embarrassed or ashamed in each other's presence. That's quite the place to be. Totally different environment from what we are living in. Totally different. How times have changed. How times have changed. I mean, the sexual saturation and the promiscuity that permeates a society, and it's all sex-driven around us. Sex-driven, and sadly, society is eating it up all over the place. And so as they eat it up, Hollywood is saying, you want more? Do you want more? And so they make more. They just keep giving everything to what people want. They're driven by their sex appetite. Interesting this week, I guess maybe you heard the news of Hugh Hefner passing away at the age of 91. Just in case you don't know Hugh Hefner, who he was the one that started the magazine Playboy. I was listening to some of the news channels, and the news channels were paying him great tribute. In fact, I even went on one channel, and they said he was like an icon. As I listened to this, I mean, it was disgusting me deep in my heart. I mean, realizing Hugh Hefner and what he did and what he brought into the generations that were before us and into our generation through the magazine Playboy. I read another article written by a Christian, and I prefer this one because this Christian wrote in this, he said, Hugh Hefner led many souls down the road to destruction. And I believe in that one. Led many souls down the road to destruction. Adam and Eve, made by the hands of God Almighty. Fashioned from the ground, taken from a rib, given a perfect place to live. Eden, perfection, enjoyment. No knowledge of good and evil. It destroys us at times, doesn't it? That knowledge of good and evil. It convicts us, thank God for the Holy Spirit, but they didn't know that. They were living in perfection. They walked. All they had was the joy in the Lord. They walked in the cool of the day and talked with God and knew him and just had that wonderful and glorious fellowship. Just like the song that we sing a lot of times in the seniors' home. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to fear? What have I to dread? Leaning on the everlasting arms. But in that garden, sin began from this perfect couple. But sin cut all that they had off. It started with a choice. Started with a choice. It started with the wrong choice. The wrong choice. As I said, how many times do we make wrong choices and we find out those choices that we make, wrong as they are, got us deeper and deeper into hot water in our lives. Told often through the Bible that sin and God cannot dwell together. God loves every one of us, but sin and God cannot live together. Sin separated mankind from God, as it does this very day. Sin separates us from fellowship with God. Sin separates us from all that God wants to do in our life. Sin separated Adam and Eve and all the productivity that God had in mind for this couple in this world and all the things that could happen. Did you know that a sinner will never, ever go to heaven unless they repent? That's what it says in the Word. Do you not know, says Paul in 1 Corinthians 6, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And for those who live in sin, take no time to worship God, to enjoy the relationship with God, do not participate with God's people in the enjoyment of His church and all the things we do and through Him in the church and for Him, will be losers of the great blessings that God wants to have with each and every one of us. See, the truth is clear and simple, and I find that the truth is very explicit. Do you find that? It's very explicit. Sin cannot be anywhere near God. He cannot tolerate sin. He loves us so very much. I want to make sure this is very clear. He loves you and I with the depth of His heart and His love and His mercy and His grace. And the only thing that keeps Him back in all that He wants to do in our lives is the sin that we make the choice to live in, the sin. I really am enjoying the Wednesday night Bible study that we're doing with the inductive Bible study. Thank you so much, Pierre, for the work that you're pouring into that Bible study. You folks should be out here to really glean in some of these things. I feel like every time I preach now, I better bring something out of the inductive Bible study just to show Pierre that I'm doing some homework and all that. But Pierre, on Wednesday night, he was going through, and if you haven't got the sheet of session number 5, it's really good. He talked about our observation of things that are. They're emphasized, repeated, and related, and alike, and unlike, and true to life. Were some of the things. And as you said some of these things, I mean, I'm on Sunday morning. I'm a few days ahead of you as you're doing these things. But then Pierre got to the place of back in the Garden of Eden because of Adam and Eve and their disobedience to the word that God gave them. It brought the curse. The ground was cursed. Do you remember saying that on Wednesday night? And I said, whoa, he's hitting my message for Sunday morning. The ground is cursed, the ground that we live in. And so I want to show you this. Is that okay if I just take this off? Because, you see, this is what is happening in the world right now. I mean, can you feel this anywhere in the world? I mean, the ground is cursed. Yeah, we'll say the ground is cursed. But really, if the ground is cursed, everything that produces from it is under the curse. Everything that lives and abides in that curse that happened from the Garden of Eden is in that atmosphere of the curse. And so I looked up that word, curse. See, sin brought the curse. Curse in the Hebrew is arar, to be inflicted with a curse, Adam and Eve. It carries the idea of being bound or banned from something. And if you look back in Genesis, you will know that's exactly what happened. And so as you go back to Genesis, you see the very initiation of the curse. Did God want to put that on society? Did God want to put that on Adam and Eve? Does God want us to live separated? Does God want us to live apart from Him? No. He wants us to come to Him. And God's original curse to Satan in Genesis chapter 3, verse 14, cursed are you above all cattle and cursed is the ground for your sake, means that you are banned from all other animals and condemned to be on the soil of all on your account for all the days that you are here. And so in Genesis chapter 3, the woman blamed the serpent. She said, the serpent deceived me, so I ate. Choice. How many times do we make choices? Therefore, the curse came upon the serpent, as it said, and on your belly you shall go, said God to the serpent, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. The devil was cursed. I always thought the devil had a dirty mouth. Here he is on the ground sucking up dust. Amen? Hope you got that. Then a curse from God was pronounced on Adam. Genesis chapter 3, verse 17. Because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. In other words, flowers might stop blooming. And all of a sudden you get insects eating the potatoes and the vegetables and the things coming up. And you got ants running all over the place. You got grasshoppers just eating away and chewing at everything that you have out there. You're trying to figure out how just to get one potato out of the ground without something happening out there. I mean, you're just toiling. You're just going through all this. And it was not his person that was cursed, notice that, but the ground we walk on, live upon, eat upon. Our environment was cursed. And the curse had further stipulations when Cain killed his brother Abel. And if you were to go over to Genesis chapter 4, verse 9, the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? And he said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now you are cursed from the earth. Additional curse upon Cain for killing his brother. Now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on the earth. And from this we see in this scripture the very entity of the sanctity of life. When Cain killed Abel, it broke God's heart, and the ground was crying out to God. His ears were hearing it. What have you done? He said. The ground is crying out to me of what you have done. And so the sanctity of life is really present here from God's perspective, and that God's creation was killed. A human being made in the likeness of God would dare take another's life. And here it is, the sanctity of life, and it should be with us in this world right now. But so many people don't see the sanctity of life. I can never figure out these terrorists, how they can, in their heart, strap upon themselves dynamite with the very sole reason of walking into a crowd of people and to take their own life and to take as many people as they can. I can never understand that other than it must be from the pit of hell. It cannot be from God, because God favors life. He loves life. He's the giver of life. He's the one that wants to sustain life. So the curse extended to Cain, to the ground in which he could take food from, and the ground would no longer yield its strength to Cain. An additional curse upon this, and God said that he would be a fugitive and a vagabond. God's curse upon Cain means that Cain is banned from enjoying the productivity of the earth's soil. As I look at all this, and I see this happening, why is this happening? Because sin brings separation. Sin brings separation. Adam and Eve opened the door, opened the gap between themselves and God by their disobedience. Sin entered in their lives and their family. And as I think about this morning, you know, it's good for parents to be godly. Children are watching. When sin enters into the lives of the parents, how can we say it's not going to enter into the lives of our children? This is very important that we make sure that we're showing to our children something good and something holy, something worthwhile living for. I've seen too many parents that, you know, they dabble in this and they dabble in that and they wonder why their kids are running astray. I tell you, we need to make sure that we're towing the line when it comes to God, that we live far away from this world. Touch not, taste not, live not, even close to. Don't even be close to those kinds of things that are around us. Amen? So Cain, as I look after Adam and Eve, Cain even made the gap even wider in taking a life, and sin was working in their lives to a greater magnitude. Are we aware? Let me get back to this one if I can. Oops. Are we aware that every last human being on this planet is living under the curse? Can you imagine that from the original sin, that curse, that the depth and depravity of mankind over the centuries was widened in that gap between God and man? And look at today. I mean, back then, it was just taking from a tree. It was killing a brother. And can you imagine the world that we're living in right now, the production, the reproducing of sin all through our world, and how the magnitude and all the things around sin has become so huge and momentous that it's just like a snowball going down a hill in the wintertime. And I don't like to talk about snow, but you start a snowball and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's the way sin has gone into our world right now. You and I are in 2017, and the magnitude of sin is very, very, very big. Very big. Very big. God saw the depth of sin, how far it took mankind. As you go through the Bible, you see that the sin was just going and going. And notice in Genesis chapter 6, the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man from whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. Can you hear his heart? Because of what sin did, separated his creation. But I love the next line. It says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Isn't that neat when somebody comes to Jesus? Isn't it nice when somebody in your family gets saved? Isn't it nice when somebody bows their knee and confesses with their tongue the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, for man to get back to God on his own is a relentless and futile pursuit. You and I cannot get back to God on our own. They tried it at Babel, didn't they? If we could just build a tower high enough, we can get up into heavens and we can be like God. But it could not be done. Ever since then, mankind has tried to plot and plan their own lives and their own destiny. Man thinks that they're in control of everything around them. They think that they're in the destiny of what they are producing and making, their security. Their future is what they've planned and what they have done. But I beg to differ, because they're living in the curse. It's futile work. You can't get to God while you're in the curse. And that's where you live, that's where you dwell, and you're all through the curse. So for man to get back to God, it's relentless and a futile pursuit. And ever since then, mankind has tried to get to that place. They're looking for security. They're looking for longevity of life. They're looking to do all these things, but sin is taking its toll. Nothing on this earth will ever be sustained while the curse remains. Did you hear that? Nothing on this earth will ever be sustained while the curse remains. The earth is doomed. I'm waiting for the new Jerusalem. This earth is doomed. So for you and I, what is important? What is important to every person who lives on planet Earth is this, that the greatest thing that stands before us, and I say it's the choice that we make in our lives, that we should make in our lives, the choice. Just as Adam and Eve had a tremendous choice to make as that tree stood in the Garden of Eden, and they could hear the whispers of the enemy, Satan, just keep watching, go ahead, try it. And we're living in a world where you hear all the whispers and all the forces of all those things around us to try and get us off track. I say it's a choice that we need to make. We know and read of the choice that Adam and Eve made, and we know that the choice before us looms very great every day, the choice that you and I need to make. In other words, even today, there is a choice to be made in 2017. And in that one great choice, there remains this certainty that if we choose one over the other, you're going to love one but hate the other. And you're going to love that one, but hate the other. Doesn't that sound like something biblical? Sounds like what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 on the Sermon on the Mount. No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. And so today on this Communion Sunday, let's talk about the big choice, okay? Because that's what it's all about, is a big choice for you and I, each and every one of us. In fact, the greatest choice that we shall ever make and encounter in this life that we live. I like choices, don't you? I was in a restaurant a few weeks ago, and I love going to restaurants. You know, Betty's the best cook around, but I just like sometimes to get her outside and let her relax and enjoy and have a time out and to have some food that somebody else prepared. But anyway, we were sitting in the restaurant, and you know when you go through your meal, those waiters and waitresses, they're very faithful because they see that the plate is empty. The next thing they will ask you when they see the plate is empty is, do you want some dessert? That's right. They'll ask it every time. You can't get out of a restaurant without them asking if you want dessert. And so, like, I had already made up my mind, no dessert, but all of a sudden she said, the special today is rice pudding. Bing! I love rice pudding. No, so I said to her, I said, rice pudding. Now, is your rice pudding the one with cinnamon on top? She says, yes. Is your rice pudding the one with raisins in it? She said, no, our rice pudding doesn't have raisins. I said, then no, thank you. See, I was raised with raisins in my rice pudding, and everything else is of a lesser degree. You know, if you go into a restaurant and all, they have rice pudding, I mean, rice pudding is good, but if it does not have raisins, you are not getting the best of what you could have with rice pudding. Amen? How many are with me with raisins? Amen. Praise God. Let's all go out together after church and find a place that has rice pudding with raisins in it, okay? I mean, I love rice pudding, but she really let me down that day. I mean, I was all set. Once the rice pudding was mentioned after my meal, bing, I want a rice pudding, and that was it. But it's not today a choice about rice pudding and whether you want raisins in your rice pudding. You see, the big choice today really is not about rice pudding. It's not even about which restaurant is your favorite. Really, it doesn't really matter. Or what kind of music you prefer. I always listen to the kids and the adults, the seniors, and all the music they have. And, you know, this would be quite a kind of a problem for our worship team to come into a church. And what kind do you like? Okay, what kind do you like? Okay, what kind do you like? You know, for them to come and do something, I mean, I give them the kudos today because they bless us so very much. You did a lot of my kind of music today. Thank you very much. Revival. Oh, revival. Robin Mark. We heard him down at Kingdom Bound. And wow, what a worship leader he is. Thank you very much. But it's not today about the kind of music that you prefer, even though you've got your own style, you've got your own thing. You play your music at home, but when you come to church, just enjoy whatever we play here today and let the Holy Spirit work on you. Amen? Don't cross your arms and get mad because it's not your style of music. Don't cross your arms and get mad because they didn't play your song because they did last week and they didn't play it again today. Just worship because somebody in the church, I always believe that somebody likes the style of worship that we're having. Somebody likes the music that's being played. So if they're worshiping, I thank God and say, God bless somebody who loves this kind of music. I don't particularly like it, but I'm going to worship you anyway. Amen? That's what it's about is worship. We don't have to sit there and get mad because it's not my style. So today the big choice is not about what kind of music you like. It's not even about whether you like Coke or Pepsi. Who cares? Doesn't matter if you go into the restaurant and you get all mad and your lip is kind of quivering and mad because they don't have your Pepsi. Who cares? It's not even about whether you like butter or margarine, what you prefer on your toast or your bread or your sandwich. It's not about even whether the Montreal Canadiens or the Toronto Maple Leafs. I wasn't sure if I could get that out or not. Whether they can get the Stanley Cup this year. Who cares? That's not the choice that we're making about whose jersey we're going to put on our wardrobe. It doesn't even matter about whether we drive a Ford or a General Motors product or a Honda or a Toyota or even how we could spend our retirement years. It doesn't matter. Just enjoy the day that you're living in today because today the evils are sufficient thereof. And so just enjoy today. Who cares about tomorrow, says Jesus. Amen. Praise God. So any of those things that confront us and all the choices that you and I made and all those myriad of choices, but the big choice, the greatest choice, the only choice that you and I will ever really have in our lives that will really matter to us and will change us on the inside and the out is the biggest choice that you could ever make in this life. Amen? The choice. Let's understand logic here, okay? I like logic. Betty knows I go by facts, I go by logic, because no one in their right mind would ever willingly choose the curse. Right? No one in their right mind would ever choose the curse. But because of the original sin of Adam and Eve, that the curse is here, and it's very strong in our world right now, in 2017. That curse is seen every day. It's felt every day in everything. That curse is so evident and it's so prevalent. In other words, in a sense, we have no choice over the curse right now that we're living in this world, because it was here before you were born. And should Jesus Christ tarry, it will be here long after you and I are gone from this world. But, can I say that? But there is hope. There is hope. Let me take you to a bold, profound teaching by Holy Spirit that wants to say something to every person who desires to make a choice, the right choice, not for sin, not for the curse, or going against God's word, but in favor of God, who would like to make a choice in favor of God, who would like to make a choice for the word of God, make a choice for God. For those who would like to make that choice, because listen to what God said to the church almost 2,000 years ago of what he's still saying today. Galatians chapter 3, verse 10 to 14. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. And this is the answer. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Could I say that again? Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. Having become a curse for us. A curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Amazing verses of Scripture, powerful verses of Scripture, but truth, can you hear it resonating? It's like a guitar, the strings have been just plucked, and you're hearing the Word of God being resonated into our hearts. Amazing. We live under a curse, but someone by the name of Jesus took the curse, placed it upon himself for you and I. I say that's pretty amazing. I say that's awesome. Did you thank God today for taking the curse off your back? Taking the curse from your life? Did you thank Jesus? I mean, just think about this. To be cursed is to be removed from the presence of God. To be, as in the Old Testament, under the law of Abraham, you are taken outside the camp. Outside the camp. To be cut off from all the benefits of what was going on in the camp. And on the cross, Jesus was cursed. In fact, to all mankind, Jesus took the full measure of that curse from the very beginning. He didn't take part of it. He didn't take a quarter of it or three quarters of it. He took the full measure of the curse upon himself for you and I. As the Lamb of God, the sin bearer, he was cut off from the presence of God. And on the cross, Jesus entered into the presence of forsakenness on our behalf. God turned his back on Jesus and cut him off from all blessings at that very moment that he hung upon the cross, that he took the full measure of the curse. And from all keeping, from all grace and from all peace, all the wrath of God was put on Jesus. In fact, God is too holy to even look at sin, as Jesus took every last sin of every last human being upon him. The full measure upon Jesus. What a Savior! What a Savior! What a Savior! To take our sin, the full measure of your sin and my sin, all of the curse that you and I were born into this world to live in, to dwell in. Jesus took it all. Praise God. See, God the Father turned his back on the Son, cursing him to the pit of hell while he hung on the cross. Here was the Son's descent into hell. Here the fury of God raged against him. His cry or scream was a scream of the cursed. So today, think about what Jesus did in your life and what he did for us on the cross to take away that. Thank God. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Wow. Aren't you glad today? Have you thanked God for salvation today? Isn't God good? And all the time? As you read that verse of Scripture, in other words, the only hope for mankind is not the tree in the Garden of Eden, but the tree on which Jesus, the Savior of the world, died upon. It's the cross. It's the cross. It's the cross. The cross. The cross on which Jesus died. You went from the curse, and Jesus died on the cross. And if you come to the cross, you leave that behind. You leave it behind. It's the cross. It's a cross. It's a cross of redemption. It's a cross of showing us the way, the truth, and the life. It's the cross. It's where Jesus died for you and I. The Bible is all about going from the curse to the cross. God is drawing every last person. He wants to bring every last person from the curse. He wants to draw us out of that place. He wants to lift us from that miry clay. He wants to put our feet upon a rock to stay. He wants to put us in a place that's going to be good for us and life for us. He wants to bring us to heaven with him one day. And there's only one way to get that is to come to the cross. Come to the cross. I don't know about you, but I got really tired of the curse. I struggled and everything. I thank God that somebody shared Jesus with me, shared the cross with me, told me about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's wonderful to know that God can save us. This Bible is all about going from the curse to the cross, going to the Lord Jesus Christ. We must know that all our life long. You see, in the curse you live, you eat, abide under the curse. Did you know that you walk under the curse? You live under the curse. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, we think under the curse. Everything, our emotions, our physical makeup, everything is under the curse. We can't blame the terrorists. They're just living in the curse. They are cursed because of the sin that came into our world. They don't know any better. They've never come to the cross. I often say, and you've heard many preachers say it, and I think even Billy Graham said it, the only hope for our world right now is the cross. The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that's going to change the matter in the mind of man. It's going to change everything. Their direction, their physical makeup, their very being. Behold, all things become new. You're a new creation in the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's nothing we can do about the curse. Thank God that we came to the cross, but there's nothing we can do about the curse. As a matter of fact, you and I were born under the curse. Did you know that? It's not a thing you can do about it. Come on, Scripture. It's not going to come up. Oh, there it is. Psalm 51, verse 5. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Psalm 58, verse 3. As soon as they are born, they're speaking lies. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man entered in the world, death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. Sometimes people think they're pretty good, don't they? I want to let you know, if you're here today, you're a sinner, saved by grace, hopefully. Sinner saved by grace. Praise God. The Bible says, by nature we are children of wrath and evil. There is none righteous, no, not one. Says the Bible, we are all like sheep. We have gone astray. We're under the curse. But there is hope. There's only one hope for all of mankind to break the curse, and that is to come to the cross where Jesus, the Son of God, laid down his life for all mankind. See, we weren't born free, but we can be set free. We weren't born free, but we can be set free. The power of the blood of Jesus Christ. I love on Communion Sunday, we're coming to the table in just a few moments, and we're going to celebrate and commemorate and dedicate and come to this place of saying, God, thank you for laying down your life for me, saving me from my sins. See, I look at the cross, It's a tree. It's not the tree in the Garden of Eden that brought the curse from the disobedience and from the word of God to that tree, but it's a tree, a wooden cross. Jesus was nailed to that cross to break the curse, to break the curse upon mankind. And the break of the curse doesn't come automatically. Just because you go to church doesn't mean that you're going to heaven. Just because you sing a song about Jesus doesn't mean you're going to heaven. I heard the other day there's a rapper in the States that his mother saved, and he decided he was going to make a gospel album. And so, like, you know, all the kids have listened to all his garbage are now going to hear a gospel album that he's put out. He still hasn't come to Jesus. I made sure I went through the article. He says, "Mom, I'm just going to do this to please you." He's making a gospel album to please his mom. That's nice. Nice to please our parents, but that won't get you into heaven, making a gospel album. You know, all the things that we do, it's not automatic when you get salvation, but it requires something to do. You got to say, "God, I'm tired of the curse. I'm tired of what's living under that. I'm tired of all the things that I've been dragged down this life for." I mean, isn't it good when we come to the end of our ropes and realize that what we have, what we're doing, where we're going is no good? It's not amounting to anything. It's not doing anything for our lives. But when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, I love Jesus. When I came to Jesus, no, he didn't pay my bills, didn't pay the mortgage, but he paid this, paid my life, paid it in full. Thank God for the payment of the price of this life. One of these days, I'm going to die. You know what? Somebody else can have the mortgage. That's good. But I know where the body's going. He bought it. He bought it with a price. I know where this is going because it's going to heaven. How about you? Are you going to heaven today? Hallelujah. Leave everything behind. Leave the bills behind. Leave all the mail collecting on your front porch. Do it all. Just leave it all there for somebody else to clean up. You just make sure that you're going in the right direction. Going to heaven. Amen. Praise God. See, that's what God wants us to bow our knee. Because of being born under the sin and the curse, we still live that way, but we don't have to. Until there's a realization that there's a way out. There's a way out of where we are. There's a way out. It's coming to the cross. You've got to come to the cross. It just doesn't happen automatically. You've got to come to the cross. See, I love the Word of God because anyone can come to the cross. Did you know that? Anyone can come. John 3:16, read it again. Anybody can come to the cross. Anybody. Anyone can believe that Jesus died for our sins. Anybody, whosoever will may come. Anybody, if you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, you can come to the cross and he's going to wash away the curse, the sins, and everything else in your life. He's going to make you all new because you believe that you wanted to come to the cross. You made the realization in your life and you made the choice. You made the right choice to come to the cross. Anyone who confesses their sin and believes in their heart that the Lord Jesus died upon a cross, was raised to life again from the grave, can find not only hope for salvation, but a break from the curse. A break from the curse. It's not just hearing about it, but it's believing in it. It's not just hearing about church, but it's getting involved in it. Amen? And all those things. What Jesus did for you and I, he did at the cross. Adam and Eve were told to stay away from the tree of knowledge, but you and I can come to this tree. We can come to this tree. This tree is beautiful. It's the cross. There's a song we're going to be singing in just a few weeks, maybe. Anybody ever heard a song that it's so beautiful? It goes like this. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. Ever heard that song before? Maybe you know the second verse. It goes like this. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains. Repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy. Repeat, repeat the sounding joy. But it's the third verse. It's the third verse. No more let sins and sorrow grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow. Far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. Let's understand today, make sure that we really get this deep in our hearts. It's all because of the cross. Jesus dying on the cross for you and I. There's no place that the curse is gone, that grace cannot be found even greater in this whole wide world. Amen. God's amazing grace. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we are still sinners. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, I love that. And then you go to Colossians chapter 2, and you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses, having wiped off the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them. Isn't that great? Isn't it great? Isn't it great that God did that for you and I? Only Jesus could build a bridge to heaven with only two pieces of wood. I love the last book of the Bible. It tells us what's going to really happen. Even though the doom and gloomers are out there and somebody said September 23rd was the last day of this world, they don't know. Anybody sets a date to it, just write them off. Another crazy person. But when you get to Revelations chapter 22, and this John on the Isle of Patmos being sentenced there for his faith, and it says in verse 1, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Hallelujah. And I love this. And there shall be no more curse. And there shall be no more curse. But the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And I'm sorry, I just got music in me. Every time I read some scriptures, I feel it. It's music to my ears. Aren't you glad when the scripture becomes music to your ears? When you sing psalms and you sing the word of God. And these shall reign forever and ever. And we shall reign forever and ever. Hallelujah. Now you can say in church, you said hallelujah just in case you never said it before. Hallelujah. Would the worship team come, please? So here's 1,000 words. Hi, Bob. And here are 1,000 words that we need in our life. The picture, the cross, everything that you and I need. Would you stand with me this morning before we go to the communion table? Have you had the curse broken in your life yet? Is it broken?
Yes.
Every head bowed and every eye closed, please, just for a few moments. If you're not sure of that curse being broken, if you don't really know that you have ever left that place and come to the cross, something inside of you right now is even wondering whether you have ever done it, and I'm not asking you to do something official. But you do need to come to the cross. You do need to come to Jesus. If you've never done that, if you've never confessed your sins and said, God, I'm tired of the curse. I need you, Jesus. That's why the cross is there. See, Jesus is no longer on the cross. He's at the right hand of the Father. But that's the way into heaven, is to come to the cross and realize that Jesus died for our sins, that he died for us. He laid down his life. Every one of our sins was nailed to him. And so if you keep carrying your own sins, then you've still got them. But if you give your sins to Jesus, if you give your life to Jesus, if you turn everything over to Jesus and come to the cross, the Word of God tells us you will be saved. You're no longer under the curse. You're saved, set free, born again, a new creation in the Lord Jesus Christ. With every head bowed and every eye closed, is there anybody here this morning not sure whether you're saved or not? You just put your hand up really quickly and put it down. We'll make sure that we pray for you this morning that you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, that you're coming to the cross. You admit that you're a sinner. You're living under the curse. Anybody here at all? Just going to take a few moments. We'll pray for you. Anybody at all? Yes. Anybody else? You're not sure. You're not sure. You're not sure. Anybody else? Anybody else? Come on. Don't let the devil hold you back. If you're not sure, put that hand up, because really you're not putting your hand up for me. You're saying yes to Jesus. Come on. Anybody else? Anybody else? Hallelujah. Praise you, God. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this one that has raised their hand this morning. Thank you, Lord God, that you've spoken through your word, that somehow the Spirit of God has moved in such a great and powerful way that they want Jesus. They want to come to the cross. They're tired of the curse. They're tired of the curse. And they want to make sure today. They've heard a lot about church. They've heard a lot about Jesus. They've heard a lot about religious things, but that's not going to save you. It's the only way to get saved is to come to Jesus, to confess our sins. So this morning, I'm going to lead in prayer for this one person that raised their hand. Perhaps there's many others here today that could not raise your hand. We do not want to embarrass you, but if you're here this morning, I'd like everyone to repeat this prayer after me for this one person and perhaps others who need Jesus Christ, who want to come to the cross. So would you repeat this prayer, please? Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus. I don't deserve it. Because I live under the curse. I dwell under the curse. But I realize life could change. And I want to change. So I come to the cross. I come to you, Jesus, Son of God, who died on the cross for every person, even me. So I confess my sins. I give my life over. I come to the cross. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me, setting me free. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 We're going to go to the communion table right now. I'm going to pray over these elements. And this morning, it's just a cup of juice. It's a small piece of bread. But it's an emblem. It's something that makes us think of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we do these things, we do them in remembrance of the cross, in remembrance of what Jesus did for you and I, laid down his life so that we are no longer at the curse, but we live at the cross. It's a great place to live. Amen. So, Father, as we come to the communion table this morning, thank you for the fellowship that we have in you. It was broken because of sin. But God, thank you that through that powerful blood of Jesus Christ and dying upon the cross for our sins, that we've been made new and fashioned new in you, Lord God. And so we can come to this table, we can partake of the emblems, and we can say, thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul. And we can live every day under that same joy, that same happiness, that same emotion of understanding that Jesus has saved me and set me free. The same truth that we live in every moment of our lives. In the Word of God. So thank you, Jesus. As these emblems are passed out to every person this morning, Lord, I just pray, let us seriously consider and search ourselves, examine our lives. And if there's anything inside of us that needs to be gone. Let us carefully and cautiously, but openly confess it to you, Jesus, and put it back in the blood of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for being free. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. With the board members, come forward, please. cross. You can't live in two places at once. Isn't that true? You either accept one or reject the other, or you accept one and reject the other. Thank God that we've rejected the curse.
Amen.
And we've accepted Jesus. Thank God. Thank God for the wonderful blessings that we have in Jesus. So that's why Paul said, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let's partake of the bread together. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." In other words, we live at the cross. Let's partake together. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. And I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange. Aren't you glad today for the cross? The cross where Jesus died for our sins. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we are so very grateful, Lord. Help us not to take this salvation, this gift that you have given us, lightly. God, this is a profound blessing of your grace and your mercy. Help us to walk delicately, but let us walk close to you, Lord, thanking you continually for what you've done in our lives. Thank you for saving and setting us free. God, as we go from this place, help us to hear the cross, the power of the cross, what Jesus did, laid down his life. Resound that into our hearts and our lives. And all this week long, should we be confronted with any choice, Lord, let us come before the cross. Say, "God, help me in the choices that I make. Let me bring glory to your name and the decisions that I make for you and for your honor." So go with us now, we pray. In Jesus' wonderful and glorious name we ask. Amen and amen. God bless you.
I'm gonna get you unplugged.
Right, you get her.